in 2 Corinthians 8, I want to talk about your ministry. Your ministry. And because people always ask me, okay, you know, I was lost over here. Now I'm saved. What do I do? Well, I believe there's one central theme to what you should be doing, but we'll get to that in just a minute. The idea is you have to know what it is God's called you to do. And you've got to be as faithful at doing that as I am at preaching or whatever it is you do. And every one of you guys have something the Lord is excited about using. Your talents and whatever. And so I want you to listen to this. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it. Doing of what?
Ministry.
The ministry. That as there is a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now think about what he said. You know, I've had people come to me and said, hey, preacher, if I win the lotto, I'm going to give to the church. And they weren't giving the church anyway. But if they could win the lotto, they'd give to the church. You know what I would say about that? Baloney. Baloney. You know what? Listen, if you won't give out of a dollar, you're not going to give out of $10,000. Trust me. You all understand? It doesn't work that way. The mind won't release that. If your ministry isn't to give, you know what? You don't have to worry about giving. And I'm not trying to burden anybody with giving. I'm just using that as an example of a ministry where a lady came in and they all joked her because she put 2 pence in. And they said, why are you joking her? She gave of all that she had, and you only give a portion out of what you have. See, listen, she had the ministry. She believed God was going to take care of her. And so she got on with the ministry with what she had right then, right there. God's interested in with where you are right now, right here. You know, he's not going, well, I'll give him talents down there and he can handle it. Whatever you've got right now, you can do. You got it? You don't have to wonder. You don't have to go, hey, wonder what it is God wants me to do. God has a ministry for you. And it's set. But if you have the attitude, well, you know, if I get this, I'll do that. Guess what? It ain't going to ever happen. In fact, you know, I hear people all the time, if my ship comes in, well, here's the bad thought about that. What happens if it doesn't? See, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look if you will in verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. The Bible says this, according to the grace of God which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So what should you be doing? Taking heed on how you're adding to it. Listen, there is one single goal and one single ministry that you're to do. Listen, this isn't about Grace Bible Church in Montgomery. It isn't about Grace Bible Church, Inc. It is about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the preaching of the grace of God and getting people saved and established and rooted and grounded in truth. That's all it's about. And you're either adding to that or you're taking away, subtracting from it. And you know what? You've got to determine what it is you're doing. Listen, let me tell you what. I'll tell you right up. It takes money to run this ministry. You know what else it takes? It takes manpower. You know, let me tell you, manpower is very, very important. Ron back there fixed the windows. Larry has designed over the last 23 years building room after room after room. You know what? I don't know how much that's worth in money, but I've got to say a lot. You know, when everybody else was scared to get on the roof, William wasn't afraid to get on the roof. Me and Mac were kind of shaky up on the roof. But William, he wasn't shaky. He climbed up on that roof, and me and Mac were like this. We're going to help. We're real good helps. But it takes people to do things. People to clean the carpet, wash the toilet bowl out, you know, do all that. I mean, there's lots of things to do. And you know what? All of them are important. But you know why we're doing it? We're not doing it for me. We're not doing it for Grace Bible. We're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're collectively coming together as a group to see what we can do. Hey, I want to press it out. I want to do things that are unusual and exceptional. I want to see how far we can take this ministry and explode it. I mean, I think, listen, let me tell you what. I believe that the reality is that if we really pulled our resources together as a group, it'd be amazing what could be done. It'd be amazing. I'm just telling you. It'd overwhelm you what could be done. Amen. He says, I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereupon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we're not going to build on any other foundation when it makes sense. And for years, I read this verse this way. And I was taught this verse by Brother Moore this way and some other preachers. And I may be wrong now, but think about what I'm about to say and don't get mad at me, okay? Just put your thought cap on, okay? I'm not trying to change your mind about it, but I'm going to show you what I can see in the passage. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Well, if it's built on that foundation, isn't it going to be acceptable? And it, absolutely. Well, then the wood, hay, and stubble, because what I heard was the gold and the silver and the precious stone was good stuff, and the wood, hay, and stubble were the bad stuff. How many heard that? Yeah, I've heard that. Well, I don't believe that. You know what I found out? You can't build anything with gold. Isn't that weird? I started thinking, I'm sitting there studying that verse, and I'm thinking, whoa. You can't build anything with gold. You know why? It's too, who said, too soft. That's right. You know, too soft. It takes wood. Say, well, wood will burn up in the fire. See, the whole idea is what would burn up in the fire. And I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, and their flesh did not burn up. Neither did they smell like smoke, William said. So I started thinking, you know, I'd heard this thing, you know, I've heard preachers preach it, and I'm thinking, but you could not build this building without wood and some other stuff. I don't care who you are. Do you think, it's a steel building, so I'll tell you that, but do you think there's any wood in the walls? Yeah, there has to be around to nail the door frames on. How do you do the foundation? Yeah, how do you frame the foundation without wood? It is necessary to build a building to have wood. How about hay and stubble? You know what they make out of wood, hay, and stubble? Or stubble? Brick. You know what terracotta? Is that terracotta tile? Is that what it's called? The Spanish towel. Terracotta towel. You know what they make that out of? Hay and mud. I didn't know that. I'm thinking, you know, it'd be hard to have tile without some stubble. in there. It wouldn't hold together. It'd just crumble. So I don't really care whether you're the hay or the stubble or the wood. You may not be the precious stone, the wood, and gold and all. You may not be, you know, I'm figuring I'm way down on the stubble block somewhere. But if you're building on the right foundation, you're getting it. Yes, Ron?
I get it. I'm talking as a builder.
Okay.
Collectively, you, with all the skills that people have, you put them together, and you can construct almost anything.
That is true.
And so this is the same way with the Bible. We all have gifts. We all have different talents.
That is true.
You put all that together, and God will lead you to grow.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the whole point of the sermon today. You guys got talent. I got this from Americans Got Talent idea. And I thought, man, this will work really good. So watching TV does bring about good sermons. Then he said in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the work shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Not the kind, but what sort it is. Was it, you know, I've seen people give money. And they give it like this. Come here, Dale. And they go like this. Here, I want you to have that. I want you to have that. You got that? That's how it is sometimes. Here, look. Here, have it. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want you to have any of it. You all understand? They give, not want, they want control. They're not giving of a gracious heart, they're giving of necessity or grudgingly. And God said, those people are, those things are going to burn up, guys. I'm using giving only because it's something you can do. I'll get into all the ministries here in just a minute that are available, and I'll tell you some, hopefully, funny things that people think as well. Now watch. Every man, it's going to be of what sort it is. Verse 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a what? So what would I want for you guys? A reward. I mean, I would want you to be praised and honored for what you did and able to have and for all eternity. I'm looking forward to seeing Larry at the judgment seat of Christ. I've known Larry. Listen, you can say anything you want about an architect. I don't like him very much. But I love Larry. And for the 23 years he sat by this ministry, he has supported me, the ministry, and all the people that have gotten saved. And he's done it in the background. He's not a front person. He doesn't like to be. He would hate to get up here and teach or sing or, I mean, it'd be worse than pulling teeth for him. He'd go in and have all his teeth pulled before he did that. But he has been a great supporter of this ministry, and I appreciate it. And Wayne. Another guy, man. I mean, this ministry wouldn't operate without Wayne. You know, I mean, it requires somebody to kind of organize the whole thing. Everybody thinks he's the boss. I know Norm does. And so I'm going to put Norm under Wayne's control. That ought to be fun and interesting to even watch. I just do that because I'm mean sometimes, you know, just to watch it happen. Kayla's back there with her mouth open like, I can't believe you'd do that. Oh, yes, I would. Yeah. Hey, listen, Wayne will whip you in shape, brother. I mean, look at what happened to Renee over there. He got her to shave her head. Now, you know, go to 2 Corinthians 9. So just because you do something doesn't mean you're going to get the reward. It's how and why you're doing it that you'll get the reward. Y'all understand? It isn't just doing it. It's the attitude in which you take. And again, I'm using giving, but it works in every ministry. Verse 7. Every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a what?
Cheerful
giver. You know, just like that giving example, was that guy giving cheerfully? He was giving grudgingly. He was hanging on to it. Oh, I don't want to give it up. You know, the best, if you got that kind of attitude, here's the thing. Best thing is keep your money. You got it? If you're going to be thing and necessity. I've had people come and say, well, I made a commitment. There ain't no commitment you made to me. It's between you and the Lord. You know, this will probably cost us. But keep your money. You know what? I'm not going to beg. No, I hate it. I'm telling you. That was the one thing I hate. I hate it. You know what? You shouldn't have to be... You know what? If it's your ministry, you shouldn't even have to think whether it's your ministry. You know what I'm saying? If you're having to think of what it is, then it isn't your ministry. Let someone else have it. See, people give of... Look at what he said. Verse 7. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And you know what's amazing to me is that's a fact. And you're going to get a reward for all eternity in your faithfulness for doing whatever it is you've been called to do, whether it's giving or coming. You realize how important it is for you to be here on Sunday. Say, well, it doesn't matter. I give my tithe. It's important for you to be here. You know why? What happens if someone shows up and there's only 3 or 4 or 5 people here? I mean, I don't know where Sunday from 11 to 12 is better than 10 to 11. But at 10 to 11, nobody shows up. And then 11 to 12, everybody shows up. Like there's something special about 11 to 12. What happens if that new person had come and they only saw 4 or 5 people here? Would that have made a difference in their faith? Whether they would have sat and listened to the Word of God? Or would you have been the person, because you didn't show up, I mean, you didn't make the effort, and that person shows up, and you didn't show up, and you say, well, I'm in here all the time, I know all this stuff. Well, look at Larry. Larry isn't here to hear me preach. Larry could teach you. I promise you that. Probably wouldn't want to, but Larry could teach you. He knows all the answers. I guarantee you. He could do these sermons probably better than I am. But, brother, did you say that? No, I don't believe that. But anyway, what am I telling you? He's here supporting the church 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and on Wednesday. And you know why? So when that new person comes in, we may be able to root them and ground them and establish them in love. That's important. I'm glad Don showed up. You know? Y'all make sure you make Don feel at home when we're done. But what happened if Don had showed up and there were only 3 or 4 of us? Don would go, what's going on? And I know it's rough, don't you? It's hard to get here on Sunday, amen? It's tough. But let me tell you, that ministry is as important as giving. You know why? Hey, listen, if you're not here, we're not going to ever have anybody. If everybody starts having the attitude, well, I'll just stay home and I don't need to be involved. And everybody starts having that, we can have all the money and have the building, but we won't have the church, which is you. So your coming means a lot to me. You all understand? It means a lot. It's high priority. I try to show up every Sunday and Wednesday. You know? Why? Because I have to? No. I've got plenty of places. Listen, there isn't like a lack of places for me to preach. Y'all understand? There is no need for me to be here to preach. I could be preaching in Kentucky. They want me out in Texas. There are a lot of places want me. You know what? I want to preach. That's all I want to do. You know what my goal in life is? I'll tell you what my single goal is, to be the absolutely best grace preacher I could possibly be. I work at that skill every day. It's important to me, guys. But you know what? It's important for me to be here for you. Amen? And just as true is for you to be here for me. Very important. And you know what's fascinating about this? How many people are always struggling with money? Raise your hand. Yeah. I can promise you there's a way of straightening that out, and people get mad at me. Honestly, I can tell you, honestly, your financial condition based upon your giving. Listen to me. I can tell you for a fact. Here it is. Verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9. I didn't read this before because I wanted you to get the understanding of the ministry. But I just want you to listen to this. This is what God said. This is not what Barry said. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also what?
Sparingly.
So if you sow sparingly and you don't sow much, what are you going to get? You're not going to get much. Isn't that the weirdest thing? Why? You obviously don't need money to do your ministry. Did I get that? Your ministry wouldn't include money. I can tell you that I'm one of the most stingy people in the world. And I'm embarrassed about it. Struggled with money most of my life. Till I met a guy that wasn't even a believer named Jim Marone, and he changed my life. And my wife tried to help me, and like any man, I probably didn't listen well. Here's my first advice for married men. Listen to your wives. They're not just beautiful, they're and they've got some good ideas. My wife was always a giver. I was not. And we were always broke. And I met Jim Rohn and he said, look, what I want you to do is I want you to live like this. ten percent goes to the Lord. 10% the savings you never touch. And 10% into making a thing called profit. And you live off of 70% of your income. And he suggested two books, and I'll suggest those books to you if you want them. One is The Richest Man in Babylon by Clayson. I'd write it down if I was you. And The Richest Man in Babylon by Clayson, and Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I read those two books, and it took us 6.5 months to get to where we could live off 70% of our income, because most of us live paycheck to paycheck. That's what we're doing. We're struggling. And we're struggling because we're not trusting the Lord. See, your ministry includes trusting the Lord just like my ministry includes trusting the Lord. And trusting the Lord is not easy because you can't see it happening. You don't know. So, you know, and you're wondering, why are we always having problems with the bill? And so I took a couple who's no longer here, but at the time they were here, and I finally got her convinced. And it took about 6 to 8 months struggling to give 10% to the Lord. I mean, every dime that came into my pocket. Every dime, whether it was a $20 check from my dad for my birthday, a $200 check from somebody for a sale of an air conditioner, or whatever it was. And I always gave 10% to the Lord. I just wrote the check. At first, it was the most painful thing that ever happened to me. 4 years, 6 months later, I was debt free completely. That's a fact. People wonder, well, preacher's got something special going on. He always gets, hey, I can tell you there were crazy things that happened during that time, but I believe it was the Lord. I believe the Lord walked right through those things. See, the Lord, if He wants you to have that ministry, He's going to give it to you. And the more I gave, the more I laughed about it. It'd be like, ha, 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 I can't believe, oh, this is crazy, oh, man. I see some of you guys putting checks in the baskets, and you're like this. And I'm like, why would you feel that way? It's all His. Then He said, but he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. So you wonder why you're having a tough time with money? I can tell you why. Why do you think you're having a tough time? You've never acknowledged that He is the source. Then He says, he which soweth bountifully shall what? People got mad when I bought my Jaguar. Hey, learn to give. So it doesn't run. Dan says he can fix it. He's had dreams about my Jaguar since he worked on it the other day. You know? The point is it's a ministry. So man, if you're going to do, you know that tells me about your ministry? If you're going to lay it on, go for it. If it's worth doing, man, do everything in that ministry you can possibly do. Man, make it happen big. But if you do your ministry and you do it with a little sparingly, little flippant attitude, guess what your ministry is going to look like? You know what we have done in this church, really, over the last 23 years? I was telling Brendan I was a little depressed. Well, I've been real depressed, just the attendance and the attitude a little bit. And I don't mean to be. I'm just so stupidly human. You know how it is. Alan, you know how it is, don't you? I'm like dumb human, you know? And I let things get after me and you know, I guess it shouldn't, but it does. It doesn't really matter. I really, if I had control over it, I'd fix it, you know, but I don't. But I started thinking about the things we have accomplished. You know, any church in Montgomery run 35, 40 people, and they have a television broadcast on ABC? And you know how many people appreciated that? Here, who came off the TV broadcast from watching it? Raise your hand. Look at this. 35. Name one church in Montgomery that's doing that. That's amazing. How many do you know that a church of 35, 40 adults here, we're live in the internet. We have people in New Zealand watching right now. Toronto, Canada. Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida. We got people watching in Texas. One from California, she wrote me the other day, says, I watch you every Sunday. Man, I'm like freaking out. I get letters now from everywhere.
We're setting up having church, aren't we?
Yeah, the Kentucky's got a group that's got a church with the TV as the thing, and I'm preaching to them. And guys, listen to me. The realization is that it's an amazing thing what we've done. We had never, when we bought this building, you realize up to the... We had been around, we've only had the church building 5 years now, coming up on 5 years, not even 5 years yet. Before then, we've been here 23 years. We had never made over $2,500 in giving at any single month ever. You know what the payment alone on this building is? $2,480. Isn't that amazing? And we've sustained it for 4.5 years. December, we'll have a mortgage burning party. Yeah, you ain't kidding. And you know what? I've been a fairly good steward of what we've had. We've got pretty good bang out of the buck, don't we? Nice. You know these chairs? I'll never forget buying these chairs. When I bought these chairs, it took me 5 months to save up to spend $2,000. And that 5 months came out of my personal salary. At that time, I didn't have any other income. We bought those chairs, and I thought, man, it was amazing. I mean, little things like that, it was amazing. And you know why we were able to do that? Because there were some of you that were faithful in the ministry God called you to do. Wow. Couldn't have been done without you. Couldn't it have been accomplished? Couldn't it even have been dreamt of? See, I have the easy part. I can dream and give visions, you know, like, hey, I see this for the church. You know, without you guys being faithful, ain't nothing going to happen. And your ministry is equally as important as mine. It is grace. You know what? God's going to give a reward for those that will build thereupon of what sort it is. And I want you to have a reward. I want to see Bronx walking across the finish line. And the Lord said, Bronx, come here. And Bronx sits down on her knees before the Lord and said, yes, Lord. He said, no, look up. He said, you've been faithful in your ministry. You were more faithful than any other woman in the grace movement. I want you to have this reward. Wow. Well, God, we know Bronx. See Caleb walk up there. See Dale walk up there. And the Lord throws those crowns on. And you know what I know? What those crowns are really for? You guys, when you put them on your head, you'll feel that charm like, I did it. And then it'll dawn on you, you know what? This was never my crown anyway.
That's right.
And you'll take that crown off and you'll ask Him to wear it for all eternity. Say, no, Lord, I can't wear this crown. But I would be dreadfully honored if You would wear it for me for all eternity. See, we're not gaining the rewards for us. You're not giving because of me. You're giving because of Him.
Amen.
The ministry is Him. It's all about Him. It's not about me or this church or this building. It's about Him. Don't you want to be able to take off when the Lord puts that crown on? Whatever size it is. All the people we've won to the Lord. We just had some people get saved here not too long ago. You know? And I bet their mom and daddies are excited. I know I would be. I'll never forget when Bronx got saved. Norman. Matt. Saul. Jim get saved. Saw Tony get saved. Pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. And all those are little jewels in that crown. Because you helped do it, and helped support it so I could preach the gospel. Because I love preaching the gospel. Do you know what? I can't do it without you. I have to totally trust the Lord that You'll do Your ministry and do it with everything that You have inside of you. That's amazing. Ron?
I'm just saying, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, guys, listen, it is absolutely fascinating to me. Go to 1 Corinthians. Your ministry is so vital. So important. Don't make light of I'm just this or I just show up. Man, all of it's important. Whether you're a giver, whether you're a minister, whether you're a help. I mean, I thank God. I went back there to help Ron. He wouldn't even let me near the wall. I'm like, wow, that's nice. I'm like, I call it Ron's wall. Okay, I built it. He probably wishes I hadn't have done that either. But you know what? I see what we've done in this ministry, and I'm so incredibly proud of you. And you guys that have made it possible know what I'm talking about and how hard it is and how hard a stretch it is. But look at what he says. Don't worry. She's got them. She'll tie them up and tape them. Don't go back there. Grandma, don't go back. Stay in here. It only makes it worse. We only got a few minutes. We're almost done. He says, 1 Corinthians 9, I want you to read with me in verse 7. Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charge? Who planteth a vineyard and eat not of the fruit thereof? Who feedeth a flock and eat not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he altogether for our sake no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should ploweth in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partakers of this hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it's a great thing. A great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. And I'm not preaching this to get your money. I don't care. You know what? You ultimately have to answer to the Lord where you are. It isn't up to me. And whether your ministry is showing up and you show up once in every blue moon, that's okay too. If that's you think that's what God wants you to do, do that. But if God really wants to use you, let me tell you what, you're going to have to go and beyond where the comfort zone lies. You're going to have to get uncomfortable. I did with my giving. You know what I felt? I can tell you, when I first started giving, I'm thinking, I'm the preacher. What am I? And then I thought to myself, what am I thinking? Are you kidding me? You know what? I should have been thinking this. It's an honor. It's an honor. I mean, it's an absolute, incredible honor. Why am I acting so thing? And I had to work on me. I had to work on my attitude. I had to work on what I was thinking. You know what? I had a little of that Zig Ziglar thing called stinking thinking. And you know what? Because God has a ministry, get on with it. People ask me why I drive up to Kentucky to preach. You know why? Go ahead, ask me why. Because God called me to preach. So that's a little far. Well, hey, come on. I can't help where He calls me to preach. So that would be a little hard for me. Yeah, that's because it ain't your ministry. You'd wimp out on it. You know why? He didn't give you the faith to do my ministry. He gave you the faith to do your ministry. You got the measure of faith to do what God's called you to do. You know what I suggest? Get on with it. Pour it out. Let it rip. Why don't you put the throttle to the pedal to the metal? Why don't you stick it all the way down to the floorboard and see what it's got? See what you got inside of you before the Lord. Let's lay it down, man. It's summer. You know what I know about summer? Summer, two things happen. Attendance go down. You know why? Everybody's trying to get a suntan. Kayla, you can stop now. No, I meant tanning. I mean, here's what I learned. And you want to know what you learned at 51? Tanning causes skin cancer. If you want to see a picture of a guy who used to tan all the time, come look in my iPhone. I'll show you. Half his face is rotted off. Don't tan. Use suntan lotion. Antioxidants. I'll never forget Brooke when we started Proanthanol. Brooke was trying to be a model back then. She was 16 or 17. And we gave her, she was on Proanthanol. Good dad got involved with his network marketing company. It was an antioxidant that kept you from getting sunburned. She tried to tan and nothing, it would just fade. Tan, fade. You have to get off the proanthanols to get the, you know why? They were antioxidants protecting you. So I'll give you some antioxidants so you won't, you'll fade and you'll have to work at it more. But in the summer, people don't attend as much. because everything's happening. You know what? Don't let the cares of this world take you off, because you know what? They will flat do it. I'm going to tell you this in wrapping it up. I've watched over 23 years in this ministry. This is what I've seen. If Satan can keep you from church by keeping you sick, you know what he's going to do? He'll keep you sick. If he knows he can keep you from giving, keeping you broke, guess what Satan's going to do? Keep you broke. If God knows that keeping you from the ministry, projects come up. Let me tell you, he'll keep your project full. I mean, there is not a lack of things to do. Amen? Anybody here could take off today and find something to do that's probably very important. But I can assure you that nothing is more important than the Word of God preached and teached rightly divided. Amen. And you know, every now and then you need that injection whether you think you need it or not. And I've been working on this ministry and this message for 2 or 3 weeks in my mind. Because I believe sometimes we start thinking, well, we're not important. My ministry isn't important. I can tell you, your ministry is flat important. And what you do for the Lord, you're going to get a reward that will ring out for all eternity. That's the amazing part of all this. You're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for yourself. If you're doing it for me or for yourself, guess what you're going to find out? You're going to come up wanting. You're going to be weighed, and you're going to be measured, and you're going to come up wanting. And the realization is if you want the reality of the rewards, you have to do it from the heart with sincerity. You got it? And you know what? You coming to this ministry and being part of this means a lot. Now, Ron asked me, how do you join the church? Well, we have no membership. Because when we set up with the IRS as a 501(c), we had quite a bit of arguments over them. They want to know how many blacks, how many Spanish, and I wouldn't tell them. Because I don't think that's the issue. The issue is joining this church doesn't gain you anything. You know what? Joining the membership of the body of Christ gains you eternal life. And my job is to make sure you are transported from this church physically into the spiritual church, which is the body of Christ, by the preaching of the truth. You got it?
Yes, sir.
And that's all my job is. But if you want to be a member in fellowship in this church, there's all kinds of things you can do. You know, you want to say, hey, I'm backing you 100%, stand up and say that. I'm in the ministry with you. I know Larry's been there because he's been here 23 years. William's been here a few years now, too. You know, Jim, been here a few years. I know they're going to stick by my side. Max, been here a few years. You guys are the elders of this faith, of this ministry. It's your responsibility. Are you setting the example for the younger people the way you think it should be? It's your responsibility. You guys are the elders. You know what? Let me tell you what. Your example is being played out in everyone's heart right here. They're watching you. They're looking at you. Hannah's looking at you. You know what? How you act and react makes a difference. You know what thrills me about the group in Kentucky? They don't have a building, they're meeting in the living room, and they feel that it's their church family. And you know what? I feel like they're part of our church family too. Just like they're one and one. We're all working together. And you know what? They want the Word of God, and they're sitting in the living room watching a video. How about if that's all you had of me? Would you come? Because you want the Word of God rightly divided? Think about it. They're committed for the Word's sake. I hope you are too. You know, I am dreadfully proud of everybody in here, their efforts they make, and it humbles me and Brenda to be part of this ministry. Let me tell you, whether I come or go, or whether I die or live long and whatever, This ministry needs to stand forth for the Word of God. And the men I just named are the elders of this building. And they need to take charge. It's time for you guys to step up and do the leadership. I think it's important. Because God needs men. And you're the men. God's called. So think about that. All right, I'm done.